Alright, let's start at the bottom of Peitei Amud Bet. The Gemara is starting in the sugya. It's Tanu Rabanan. It's a continuing the sugya of Lo Tachshom Shor B'Tisho. Here the Gemara says there are exceptions to the rule, which is Tanu Rabanan Parot HaMerakasot B'Tvua. Now, Merakasot here is a process by which we'll look in Rashi, who describes the process, that Shoshorim Se'orim B'Mayim, they used to soak the barley in water, M'yabshim Otam B'Tanur, then afterwards they dry them out in the oven, with dashinotan beparot, and then afterwards they bring the parot on them to trample them, lasir klipatan v'hu chushla, and to remove the shells to shell them. So that's what Rashi calls this mirakasot. We'll see in a second exactly what the issue is. Tanu Rabanan parot mirakasot betvua, and the dashot betruma umaser, and then the beginning on the top of Tzadi Amin Aleph is that those who are dash, as opposed to mirakes. On Shumai Maser, Ein Over Mishum Bal Tachsom. There's no restriction of Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho in either of these instances, and we have to ask the question why. We'll come back to that in a second. Aval, Mipnei Marat Ayin, because people are not going to know what exactly is going on here, we say that Mevi Bul Milto Amin V'Tolela B'Traskalin Shebepia. We take a Malaya growth, she says, and Bul is a Malaya growth of the item that it's working with, and then you put a basket and hang around its neck and allow it to eat from the basket. Again, not because you're required to do this, because Mikar Alocha, you're not required to do this here, but because of Marat Ayin, what other people will think, we tell you to do this so that people don't come to suspect you of being Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho. You have this in other places, this idea of Marat Ayin, for instance, by Dam Dagim, by blood of a fish, even though blood of a fish is mutar to be eaten. Nevertheless, we require you to leave the scales in the blood to indicate that it's dam dagim. So even though it's mutar legamre, but because of Marat Ayin, we tell you to do or take certain action in order to ensure the fact that other people know that. Rabbi Shimba Yochai Omer, mevi karshinim. You should give him karshinim v'tolela, shakarshinim yafot lamerakol, because those are the best nutritionally or health-wise, they're the best for the animal, and therefore you should provide them with karshinim. And the Gemara will come back to that statement. Now, question is, why are you not in violation of Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho when it comes to HaMirakasot and when it comes to Dashot Truma Maser? So let's start with the Mirakasot. Rashi says the reason you're patur by Mirakasot is because it's actually after Disha. It's after the process of Disha, and since Disha is the Gemar Malacha for Maaser, we already learned before that the ability of an animal and an Adam to eat is only before there's a Chi of Maaser. So here we're already post the Chi of Maaser. Therefore, in this instance, you're not required to allow the animal to eat. The Tosa says clearly we're talking about a case where you don't intend to make this flour into bread. So if you intend to make it to Fred, we learned yesterday when we were reconciled the Brises that you wait until the Chi of Challah, right? If you don't have a Chi of, if you have a Chi of Challah and a Chi of Maser, then we wait for the later of the two, which is the Chi of Challah. So over here it's clear that this has to be a case where it's only going to be used not for Challah or never get to reach a Chi of Challah, and therefore, since you're post Dash, you're post the Chi of Maser, therefore you're not required to give him to eat. That's why the Rashi learns, and probably the way Tosas is learning here. The Rambam, on the other hand, which is quoted by the Hagosa Gra here, says that the reason you're patur by Mirakasot is because he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which is that Harekasim lebika, when Hashem appearance, the Shechina appears, it will flatten the mountains, right? Harekasim, the high mountains will be made into bika, into valleys. So the way the Rambam learns Mirakas means is to walk kidarko. Is that here he's not intending for the animal to do work. It has to be the animal's walking through, and while it's walking through, it also happens to be dash, or it happens to walk on the produce. So not that he's pushing the animal to work, or putting it into a position where it's work, but it's walking kedarko. And as it's walking kedarko, it happens to dash also, and there you're not required to allow the animal to eat, because he's not being put to work. Yeah, that's the Rambam, and we saw Rashi. Now, with regards to Dashot B'Truma Maser, Abbasim Machokos Rashi and Tosfot, Rashi says because Lo Tachshom B'Shor B'Disho, B'Disho is usually the final stage to be the Gemar Malacha for Masrot. So if that's the Gemar Malacha for Masrot, it's unusual. You should never be able to be Dash, Truma and Maser. Because Truma and Maser should only come after Dash, because the Chi of Maser only starts at Dash. So Rashi says, since it's an unusual case, you're not chayiv in Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho. Tosus takes issue with Rashi because he says then it should have nothing to do with Chumat Maser. Then even Chulin Mitukanim, even that which the Truma and Maaser were removed from, and his regular Chulin that's prior to Das should also not be restricted in Lo Tachsum Shor B'Disho, because that should never, that's not a normal case. The normal case is that you only have that Chiyuv or the Chulin Mitukanim after Daish. So Tosfos says, why is it only Truma and Maaser? So Tosfos learns, it says, Lo Tachsum Shor B'Disho. Disho is in the possessive, Daish Shelo. And Daish Shelo means your Daish, what belongs to you. When it comes to Truma and Maaser, it doesn't belong to you. Right, that's not, it's not yours. So therefore, you're not required or not restricted in putting Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho. And of course, as Rashi explains, it seems to be that Rashi later on comes back to learning like Tosfot, because Rashi also mentions here that it has to be a case here where it's the animal is the animal of the, it's Parashal Yisrael. Talking about that, it's a Yisrael's para that's doing the work here, and that's why he's not entitled to eat the Truma. All right, so now the Gemara says, "Viraminhi parot hamirakasot b'tuva eno over mishum bal tachsom, v'hadashot b'tshuma u'maser over mishum bal tachsom." So now we see, fine, as far as mirakes, the brightot are consistent. One, both brightot say that there's no restriction of lo tachsom b'dishor. They're inconsistent here with regards to tshuma maser. The first brisa that we brought, the Tanur Rabbanan, was that when it comes to tshuma maser, there's no restriction of lo tachsom b'dishor b'disho. Now we just brought a brisa that says that when it comes to tshuma maser, there is an isur of lo tachsom shor b'disho. So Gemara says, v'nachri, the Gemara continue this brisa, v'nachri adash b'parato shel Yisrael eno ver mishum bal tachsom. In Achri, that uses the para of a Yisrael, is not in violation of Lo Tachsom, or the Yisrael is not in violation of Lo Tachsom, V'Yisrael, Adash B'paratosho Nachri, Over Mishum Bal Tachsom. A Yisrael that uses the non-Jews' para, he will be in violation of Lo Tachsom. So you see that the restriction is on the Gavro. The Gavro is working the Behema as a restriction of Lo Tachsom. It's not a din in the Chevtza of the Behema, who owns the Behema, but it's a din in the Gavro who's working the Behema. He's the one who is required to ensure that there's no Chasima here. Therefore, if it's the Nachri has it, nothing to talk about. Over here, if it's you doing it with the Nachri's animal, you're still in violation of the Tachsom Shor B'Disho. So where it says, Kasha Chuma Chuma, Kasha Maser Maser. It's obvious that the Breitot are soteret. Echad et Hasheni. So where it says, Bishla Chuma Chuma Lo Kasha. We can explain these two Breitot of Chuma, Kan B'Chuma, Kan B'Gidule Chuma. We'll differentiate between Chuma and Gidule Chuma. So what's the difference between Chuma and Gidule Chuma? Chuma, there is a din that you're chayev midoraisa, min haTorah, you're chayev in truma. So therefore, when it comes to something that you're chayev midoraisa and it's truma doraisa, then we're talking about an issue where you could say that lo tachsom b'shor b'disho, like Tosu says, it's disho shelcha, dai shelcha, and not truma, because we're talking at Torah level. Now, if you take truma and then plant truma on the ground, midoraisa, what grows out of there is chulin or tevel again. The truma disappears if it's zarokala. It's a case where the seed disappears when you plant it. Midurabanan, the rabanan were gozer, that when you plant truma, whatever grows is classified as truma. Why? Because we don't want Yisrael taking off truma instead of giving it to the kohen, plant it in the ground. They didn't make chulin again. He could get rid of. He could always take care of his truma. Never have to give it to the kohen. He'll keep planting it. Or we don't want a kohen holding on to truma tmeah in order to plant it, in order to even tahir it. So the chamimer goes there that whatever you put in the ground, that's what comes out again. So now that's how we explain. But that's only a din derabanan. So if you only have truma, which is a din derabanan, then midoraisa, there'll be a restriction of lo tachsom shor b'disho, because at the doraisa level, this is chulin or tevel. So therefore, there's a restriction. That brisa that says that you're in violation of lo tachsom shor b'disho or disho is talking about gedule truma. Our brisa, the first brisa that we brought, which says there is no violation, is talking about truma doraisa. The Gemara says, el maser, maser kasha. What are you going to do with maser? V'chitei maser, maser nami lo kasha, kan maser, kan b'gedule maser. Why don't you answer the same way we answered by truma, by maser, and say that one, we're talking about maser, and then we're talking about gedule maser. The Gemara says, that doesn't work. Why? B'shloma gedule truma truma. Because growth of a truma that's planted and then grows, it still exists as truma midrabanat. Gedule maser chulin inhu. That maser that's planted in the ground, when it comes out, it's chulin. That's not gedule tevel, gedule maser sheni chulin. If you plant tevel or maser sheni, it's chulin. So why? Because there's no reason to be gozer over here. By tevel, you take tevel and you plant tevel, what are you going to get back out on the other end? Tevel. So there's no reason to plant it. Now, The Gemara says chulin over here. When you plant tevel, you get chulin out on the other end. The difference will be about achilat arai, which is that until an item becomes tevel, it's kavua, or nikva, the maser and chuma, which is tevel, and then that needs to have chuma maser, until that point, you're allowed to eat achilat arai from the produce. Only after you are chayav in shumot masrot, right? Once you get to Gemara Malacha, you cannot eat achalit arai. So what planting does for you, actually, is what it means when chulin, doesn't mean chulin the gamrei, just means that then you restart the process. When you plant tevel, and then you grow again, it's not that it's already been nikva, the chuma masrot, you can't eat achalit arai. It resets again, and you can eat achalit arai until there's a Gemara Malacha. So that's what will happen by tevel. By maser sheni, it'll be chulin afterwards. Now Tosla says, why not be gozer by maser sheni? It's because by maser sheni, you can be podet. Meaning that there's no big tircha. There's no reason for a person to hold on to the Maaser Sheni to plant it, because you can always just be poded the Maaser Sheni and eat it. So there's no real benefit in keeping it around, as opposed to Truma, where for Yisrael he gets nothing of it, and for a Kohen, if it's Truma Tmeah, he can't do anything with it. He really can't use it. So over there, there's a real benefit in planting it. So where it says that can't be the answer, because planted Maaser coming out the other end is Chulin, so that's not going to help you. Elolo Kasha. So how do we explain the steer in Maaser? How about Maaser Rishon? How about Maaser Sheni? Depends what type of maaser.
Simon, so why can't that be the answer? Because it can't be that the Braisa is telling us anything about maaser, because we don't need to know that about maaser.
No, well, one Braisa says that maaser, there's no restriction of lo tachsom shorbidisho. One Braisa says there is a restriction of lo tachsom shorbidisho. But once you planted maaser, it's not called maaser anymore. So the Braisa can't be talking about gedulei maaser, because there's no such thing as gedulei maaser. That's chulin. So you have to somehow differentiate between the two braitot with something that's called maser on one side and called maser on the other side. So we don't have an answer for that, because if you talk about gedulei maser, that's not called maser anymore. That's chulin. So that doesn't answer the other braitot. All right, so now Gemara says, no, elo kasha, haba maser rishon, haba maser sheni. Why? Because maser sheni is chulin. As far as maser rishon is considered, anybody can eat it. So maser rishon is chulin. So since maser rishon is chulin, that has a restriction of lo tachsom shor bidisho. Maaser Sheni is not chulin. It's not chulin because it has what we're going to see in a second, like Rabbi Meir, who believes that it's mamon gvoahu, right? Or even according to Yehuda, we're going to see in a second, you have to bring it up to Yerushalayim. So therefore, it's not permissible for you to eat it. It's not permissible to eat it in here, and therefore, there's no restriction of lo tachsom shor b'disho. V'bay zema, hava Maaser Sheni. They're both braitot are Maaser Sheni, but they're authored by different opinions. Lo kasha, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Smach lois, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, we saw in Kiddushin together. Rabbi Meir, damar maser mamon gvoahu. Right, he believes that Maaser Sheni is mamon gvoah. If it's mamon gvoah, then there's no restriction of lo tachsom shor bidisho, because it's not dayish shalcha. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, damar maser sheni, de mamon hedhiltu, and that's according to Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that maser sheni is mamon hedhiltu, and you could be mekadesh and isha with it. It's enough to be your money that it'll be considered dayish, your dayish shalcha, and therefore there will be a restriction of lo tachsom shor bidisho, according to this. So that's how we explain the brightos. Our first brightos that says that maser, there's no restriction, that's Rabbi Meir. Second Braisa says there is a restriction by Maaser, that's Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Hechidame. Now the Gemara asks two questions here. First of all, Hechidame. It's funny that the Gemara asks the question here, because the Gemara is just working all along with this assumption. The Gemara wants to know, how do you ever dash Truma and Maaser? Right? We should have explained it. Rashi mentions it all the way in the front, but it's Kedom Shikdimu Bishibalim, that he went ahead and he preempted. Right, even though generally you're not chayav to take off masrot and trumot until there is a gemar malacha, nevertheless, if the Levi goes ahead and preempts and goes as mafrish from the kama, or as mafrish early the masrot from the produce, or the balabait is mafrish it has a shame maser, it works to be maser, even though one is not permitted or one shouldn't do that. So that's exactly the case here. The case here is where he was mafrish trumot and masrot prior to the gzman of the gemar malacha, so they take on a shame of truma and maser, but nevertheless, it's still before the point of Daesh. So that's how we come up with this case over here. Again, we said before, that's Rashi's reasoning for why you're Patur over here, because it's not a normal case. The normal case when you're Mafrish Truot Masrot is after Daesh, it's after your Dash. So over here, where you Mafrish beforehand and your Dash, that's the Patur over here. Again, we said Tosfos disagrees, but that's how Rashi explains it. Now, the second question that Gemara asks is about Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't make so much sense. Rabbi Yehuda says that Maaser Sheni is Mamon Hedyot. Okay, but what do you have to do with Maaser Sheni? You still have to bring it up to Yerushalayim, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So it's not permitted to eat here in your local area. So why shouldn't there still be a restriction? Why should there still be a suspension of lo tachsom shor b'disho? Nothing to do with mamon gavoa, mamon hejo, but just for the fact, the mere fact that it's restricted in being eaten here. I mean, it can't go up to, it has to be brought up to Yerushalayim. Right? It says, v'lo Rabbi Yehuda, habayi chuma. You still have to bring it inside the chumot Yerushalayim. You still have to bring it up to Yerushalayim. Gemara says, kagon shadash lifni mechumat beit pagi. There's a case where he was dash inside Yerushalayim. Beit pagi, according to Rashi, is with the extension or the expansion of Yerushalayim, when they extended Yerushalayim to a further place. So that was the Beit Pagi, was the extension of Yerushalayim. So that extended area of Yerushalayim, which must have included more fields. It was probably up today where, towards where Migdal David is today. Or that area, when they, in times of, they extended the city outward and further up towards what we know as the Jewish quarter today. Maybe that's what they're referring to over here, the fields. And that extension, they were a dash over there, and that was inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Vibai Tema, another possible answer to reconcile between the Masrot is Lokasha, Kanba Maser Vadai, Kanba Maser Demai. We're talking, it depends on what type of Maser we're talking about here. If you're talking about something that is Maser Vadai, meaning that you have Tevel that had the requirements of having Truma and Maser removed from it, and then you have Maser that's removed from it, that Maser is Maser Mide Oraisa Mina Torah. So therefore, there's a suspension of Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho. But Maser Demai, the reason you're Mafish Demai is because of a Safek. It's not that we're certain that you have to take off Maser, it's Mi Rov Amayaretz Maserin Heim. It's a suffix mid Rabbanan, and mid Rabbanan we're mafresh. So over here, it's only maser mid Rabbanan. Mid Raisa, it's probably patur over here. And therefore, there's no suspension of lo tachsom shor b'disho. It says, hashadati lohochi, chuma chuma nami lokasha. Oh, that's a great answer for maser. We could use the same answer for chuma. Kan b'chuma vadai, kan b'chumat demai. It's exactly the same answer, right? That it's chumat vadai versus chumat demai. That'll be chuma doraisa versus chuma. Right, misafek would be only chumah derabanan. Rabbanan. I says, wait a minute, bishlamo maser demai iko. There is such a concept called maser demai. Ela chumah demai mi iko. Is there a concept called chumat demai? Right, v'hatanya the brisa we saw this together in Sota. Af hu bitel et avidui v'gazar ala demai. Yochanan Kohen Gadol did two things. One of them was that he's mevatel the vidui maser. Why? Because to Rashi over here, we, the Gemara over there discusses this, but the Jews, when they returned from the Gula, the Levi'im didn't come along with them. And since the Levi'im didn't come along, therefore they were not giving Maaser Rishon to Levi'im. They instead, Ezra was Mitakein, according to one opinion, the Gemara in Sota was giving it to the Kohanim. So they weren't giving Chumos and Maserot properly. And one of the things that you say in Vidui Maaser is that I gave everything according to its proper place. And that's not true over here. So he was Mevatel Vidui Maaser. But he was also Gozer La Demai. He's the one who instituted this concept called Demai. Lefi, Sheshalach V'chol Gvul Yisrael, V'rash Lo Yuma Frishim Ela Chuma Gedola Bilvad. They only were Mafrish. Everybody was Mafrish Chuma Gedola. Why? Because Chita Achat Poteret Et Akri. Meaning that all you have to take off is the smallest amount and you're done. Everybody knows that it's a Chiyo of Misa B'Dei Shemaim. So everybody, even the Amayaretz, took off Chuma Gedola. So that wasn't the Safek. The whole Indian of Demai only starts after Chumot. So how do you have something called Chumat Demai? It doesn't exist. Elolokasha, the Gemara says, no. There is a concept of Chumat Vadamai. It's just not with Chumat Gdola. It's Kambet Chumat Maser Vadai, Kambet Chumat Maser Demai. That's part of the problem here. Part of the problem is that they weren't Mafrish Maser Rishon. And when you're Mafrish Maser Rishon, what do you have to be Mafrish from Maser Rishon? You have to be Mafrish Chumat Maser. And Chumat Maser has the same din as Chumat Gdola, which is that it's a Chiv Misa Bidei Shamayim. So therefore, the Amei Aretz, where even though they were taking care of the Chumat Gdola, they were not taking care of the Chumat Maser. So you'll have a concept of Chuma, which is Chuma Maser Vadai. That'll be Chumat Maser Midoraisa. That'll be have a suspension of Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho, because it's not called Dai Shelcha. On the other hand, you have Chumat Maser of Demai, which is a case where the Amaretz, it's a Minyan Sofek. Since it's a Sofek, therefore it's only a Din Dirabanan that we say that it's Chumat Maser, and therefore there's no suspension of Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho, because it really is your Daish. Just that misafek, we're telling you to take off chumat maser. Okay, now bami neighbor of sheshet. This is an interesting question.
Simon, wait.
Yeah.
What happens if chuma gets mixed up with chuli? Is it called demai or is it called safek chuma?
Right, so there is. It's called dimua. It's called dimua, not demai. which is a term, and then you have to look at it whether.
Because then for sure you're going to have a case of safek truma or tmai.
Well, you won't. You'll have it. The case of where truma gets mixed up with chulin, you could have dinim doraisa, dinim derabanan, because midirabanan, truma is only nidbatel at 100-1. Midoraisa, truma is nidbatel berof. So you'd actually have a case, which you're suggesting, which actually would work. It's a nice idea. By Chuma, if you have Chuma where the Rov is Chulin, but it's still not 100-1, then you'll have something which is Chuma Midorabanan, right, but not Chuma Midoraisa. Yeah. Because the mixture Midoraisa is Nitbatel, and it's Chulin. But Midorabanan, it still has a din of Chuma. So it's a nice case. Although I think the Gemara here was after Demai in particular, because they want to solve, it'd be nicer to solve the Breitot of Chuma and Maser with the same explanation, right? If you're consistent in the explanation. But the case you're suggesting is also true by Dimua of mixing a Chuma and Chulin. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Bami name Rav Sheshet, Haitau Chelet Umetrezet. So the animal was eating, and as it was eating, it was defecating. But this Metrezet seems to be like a form of Shilshul. It was diarrhea. I mean, that whatever it ate came out as a liquid. So it was clear that eating for it was not beneficial. Mahu. What's the din here of lotachsom shor b'dishol? They're trying to investigate what's the underlying reason for it. Mishum demali lahu. The reason that we say to allow the animal to eat while it's working is because it's beneficial for it. V'halo mali lo. And we see over here that it's not to its benefit, because as it eats it, it's actually negative for it. It increases or has this sickness persist if he continues to eat. So it's not good for it. Oh, dilma. The issue by the Tochsom Shabidisho is that the animal sees the food while it's working, and it's mitzara that it can't eat it. So there, v'hachazio mitzara, and over here, even though it's not to the benefit of the animal to eat, but nevertheless, it'll be a tzar if we don't allow it to eat, and therefore you'll have to let it to eat. Again, what's the mokade of lotachsom shabidisho? The din of lotachsom shabidisho is to benefit the animal, to make it healthier and have it eat, you know, that's why it's the din. Or is the din really premised on the animal's tsar? The animal feeling a tsar of not being able to eat while it's working. So what the nafka mean is obviously our case here, where eating it to it is not beneficial, but nevertheless, it'll prevent it from having that tsar. So Amar Lahu Rav Sheshet Tinitua. We learned it from our brisa above. That was the concluding statement of Shimon bar Yochai. Omer mivi karshinim etolo lashirish karshinim yafot la minako. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, even though the Chamim disagree, or the Tanakhama disagrees with Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that you have to put in Karshinim, but Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's explanation of why you put in Karshinim is not disputed by the Tanakhama, and that's what? So that, Karshinim yafot la minakol, that's the most beneficial for the animal. So you see from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai that the institution of lo tachsom shor b'disho is about the benefit or what's beneficial to the animal. It's not about the tzar of the behemoth, but it's rather about the benefit to the behemoth. In this instance, that would mean that you shouldn't give it the food when it's detrimental to its health, even though it might cause it some tzar not to be able to eat. So we see that the issue is about health benefit or beneficial, what is beneficial to the animal. Now, Ibailuhu, this is a very interesting question. I kind of skipped it in Rashi before, because Rashi makes an interesting statement before about when the Braisa, when it discusses about Nachri. We had a case of Nachri is either where you are right using the Nachri's animal, or the Nachri is using your animal. So now the question is like this. Ibaduhu, Mahu Shumar Adam LeNachri, Chasom Parati V'doshba. What's the din of someone, can they say to a Nachri, to a non-Jew, go ahead, muzzle my animal, and then have it go work. Now the way Rashi explains this is that he goes to the Nachri and he says, listen, take my animal, muzzle it, and work on your stuff, meaning on the Nachri stuff. That's the way Rashi explains it. Rashi explains here, you're muzzling the animal, and it's working on the Nachri stuff. So it's not your benefit, it's simply the Nachri's benefit, and he's saying, go ahead and muzzle it. Now, that's the question. Tosfos, right away, jumps on and says, what are you talking about? What's the problem of you saying, you know, muzzle my animal, and then he goes, works for the Nachri? There, it's the issue for the Nachri himself. So Tosfos says, no, the case is a case where you say to the Nachri, muzzle the animal, and then work on my stuff. I mean, that you basically take the Nachri to do the muzzling, and then you have him work your animal on your own produce. That's the way Tosfos learns it over here. Although the Re comes back and says that he thinks that, it seems from the Re says that the Rashi's explanation or the comparison we're going to see in the Gemara in a second is not so good, and that maybe even Rashi's pshat makes sense here. So Gemara says, okay, what's the question here? Mi amrinan, ki amrinan amir la'akum shvut. When do we say that Amir L'Nachri is an Isur Midirabanan? Hani Milin Dinin Shabbos. That's only in Dinin Shabbos Amir L'Akum is Asur, the Isur Skila. Because Shabbos is involved in Isur Skila, so therefore we made Amir L'Akum Asur. Aval Chasimo, the Isur Lav, lo. But here, Chasimo is only an Isur Lav. So maybe here the Rabbanan were not Gozer Amir L'Akum when it's only dealing with an Isur Lav. Or maybe it makes no difference. So again, the reason right away, why, when I read Rashi, I go, oh my gosh, how could it be? It has to be like what Tosfos is saying. Why? Because what's the din of Amir L'Akum by Shabbos? You're asking the Akum to do a malacha for whom? For you. Right? You're saying to the guy, go do this malacha and do that malacha for my benefit. So the comparable case over here by Chasima would be, you tell him to muzzle the animal and then do the work for you on the produce. So that's why Tosfos says that it must be that you're talking about your own produce. Because you're talking about the Nachri's produce, then it's not comparable to the case of Shabbos. But the Reed comes back and says, no, because there are different, actually, cases over here. Because over here, the item that the you're instructing the Nachri to do is Asur. Meaning that muzzling the animal, right, is restricted. Just like cooking on Shabbos is restricted. So the actual masa that you're asking the item or the person to do is the restricted isur. It's not about what it's done for, but the actual isur is bishul, that you're not allowed to do, and then you're asking an akum to do it on your behalf. And over here, the isur is to muzzle the animal, and you're asking the akum to perform that muzzling for you, or perform that muzzling instead of you. So that's why he explains that maybe Rashi's pshat is okay, even if you're talking about your own produce. It's not clear from the Ri whether he agrees with Rashi, but he disagrees with Tosfos' comparison. All right, so now the Gemara tries to conclude. Tashma, Nachriya Dash, this is the price that we had before, which seemed to say it explicitly. Nachriya Dash b'paratosh al-Israel, en over mishom ba'al tachsom. Mavar hu dolo avar, he's not in violation of the tachsom, ha-isura ika. Right, so that implies that there's no violation of the law of lo tachsom shor b'disho, but there's still an isur midrabanan. It's like the equivalent of patur of alasur, right? So, but Mar says no. But din hu di isur nami leka. Even here, the brisa should have written adash b'fratosh al Israel patur legamre, that there's not even an isur. V'aydid tani seifa, it's for parallel structure in the brisa, because the second half of the brisa says Yisrael hadash b'paratosh al-Nachri over. There, where it's over, it means over on the law of lo tachsom. So when it says over in the second half of the brisa, it said Eno over in the first half of the brisa, even though it's not simply Eno over on the law, but even Patur the Gamre, that there's no Rister the Rabbanan. Tanaram Eisha Eno over. So there, from there, there's no proof from this brisa.
Simon?
Yeah.
Is it Pshat in Bedinhu, the Isura Nami Leka, is that referring to the Isur of Amir al Nachri, or is that referring to the Isur of Losasa?
No, the Isur of Amir Leakum. Over and lo over is referring to lo tachsom shor b'disho, and the surah here is the isur of Amir L'Akum. So the Gemara tried to say that when it said in over means that he's not in violation of the law, but he's in violation of the isur Nachri. The Gemara says, no, he's not in violation in over, and he's not in violation of the isur. So why did it use a lashon of in over instead of in asur or mutar legamre? Because of the second half of the brisa, the key parallel structure with the second half of the brisa, where it says he's over. The first half of the bracha says ain't over, so you can't be medayik anything from that. So where it says Tashma. So Shalchalei Avuah d'Shmuel. They sent a question to Avuah d'Shmuel, a very interesting case. Halein Torei. These Shvarim, these oxen of ours, dig ganvin, that are being stolen by the non-Jews, Aramai, umeganchin, and they castrate them, yaton mahu. What's the din? So they go ahead and they castrate the animals. Castration of an animal is an Isur Minatora, Isur Doraisa. So what's happening over here, and the way Rashi explains it, is that they are these Nachrim, who happen to be friendly with the Jews, and they know that Jews are not allowed to castrate their animals, but they'd really like the animals to be castrated because they are better work animals when they are castrated. So what do? They go ahead and they do their Jewish friend a favor. They steal the ox of their Jewish friend, they castrate it, and they return it. So over here, the Akum, right, is going ahead and doing something to the benefit of the Jew. Now, that's the way Rashi explains it. The Tosfos over here quotes in the Shiltos, the Rabbi Chai, that the case here is actually where the Jews used to tie a coin around the reproductive organs of the animal, and the Nachri used to come and steal the coin. And in the process of stealing the coin, he used to be miseraced the animal. So that in the process of stealing, he was doing. The reason that the Shiltos might say this is because we're going to see in a second that the Jew has to be is involved here. There has to be some Amir al-Akum here that's going on. Right? Where is the Amir al-Akum, or where is this idea that the Jew is instructing the Nachri to do this benefit? So according to the Shiltos Rebbe Chai, he solved the problem because the Jew is setting up the whole situation where he puts the coin on there and he's basically setting it up for the Nachri to come. We're going to see in a second that it seems from Rashi that he's actually instructing the Nachri to come and do it. And that's what's happening here. All right, so then he says, Ma, what's the din? He says, Shalachu harama it'avibuhu. That's a harama. They're doing incorrectly. It's basically a game which the Jew wants to be misaris. So he hands it over to Nachri to act on his behalf. And since he's acting on his behalf, right, then it's asur. So then for Airami Olayu v'izdabnun, we're gonna, you know, trick on them. We'll give them back what they tried to do, and we'll force them to sell it. Now, forcing them to sell it means that what was his intent? His intent in castrating the animals to make it into a better plowing or better work animal. Now he's not gonna get the benefit of that because we're gonna force him to sell it out. And because he has to sell it out, he won't get the benefit of what he was trying to gain over here.
He'll get more money.
Okay, so that's the Gemara is going to discuss in a second. Very good. The Gemara has a machlokus about selling it, how he can sell it. So very good, David. That's exactly the Gemara's question in a minute. So Amar Papa, Bnei Marova, Savri Lak Rav Chidka. Now, that's not a proof from here. The proof from here that this is Amir La'akum, and you see it's Asur, according to Avuah de Shmuel, where they asked if the castration is done by the Nachri on behalf of the Israel, it's Asur. So you see there's Amir La'akum even outside of Shabbos. He says that's not a proof over here. Why? Because here the Isur D'oraisa is like Rav Chidka. Rav Chidka believes, right, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when we talk about the Surah B'nai Noach, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, this is one of the Mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs, one of the Mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, which is B'tzuvim al-Sirus, that they're not allowed to castrate either. That not only are Jews restricted, but even non-Jews are restricted. So what's the Isur here? So if they're restricted over here, then what is the benefit of having the Jew, you know, give it over to the Nachri? The Gemara says, Ka'avrei mishum lifnei yiver lo titen michshol. The Jew is in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol because he is, right, allowing the Nachri to go ahead and castrate the animal, which is a Isur for the Nachri. It's an Isur for the Bnei Noach. Now, the problem, and that's what I was discussing before, the problem is, how could this be Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol? Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol is when you actually, right, either encourage or you somehow provide the Isur to be done over here. But if you are just simply Masayel over here, it's a din de Rabbanan, but it's not a violation of Livnei Velo Titeh Michshol. So now again, the Shiltos to Rav Achai solves that problem by saying that they placed the coin on the kis. So over there, it's clearly Livnei Velo Titeh Michshol because he's goading the Nachri to come and castrate the animal to take the coin. Tosus rejects that explanation. He says that who would come to steal a dinar? I mean, gonev, you don't use the word ganav when he comes to take a dinar. That's not called geneva. So the way Rashi explains it is that Bekavar over here is Mishom Ze Omer L'Sares, that he instructs, that in these instances, he's instructing the Nachri to come to do the Sirus. So he tells the Nachri, I want you to castrate my animals, but he can't hand it to him. So what happens? The Nachri comes, takes it out of his flock, and he does it for him and puts it back in there. So, but there was some sort of instruction by the Jew, which creates the Lifnei Iver, Lo Titen Michshol here, according to Rashi. So now, the Gemara says, David, your question, Savar Rava L'Meimar Yimachru L'Shchita. That when the Avuah de Shmuel says he has to sell him, means he has to sell him for shechita, to be killed right away for meat. He can't sell him as a shor lecharisha, because otherwise, like you're saying, David, he's getting the benefit. Meaning that the whole castration gives the benefit that it's a better plowing animal. So either you use it, or you sell it to someone else to use as a choresh. So therefore, you'll get that benefit. So Abaye disagrees with Rava and says, no, that you could even sell it for a shor lecharisha, and even though, yes, he'll get a little more money for it, but that was not his intent. He went through all this effort in order to be able to use it himself. And by selling it, that's not what his intent was, and he would never have gone through the effort just to sell it. And the fact that he expended the effort and got the Nachri involved was all for his own benefit. And now that he can't get his own benefit, that's enough of a knas, even though he can sell it for a slightly higher price to give it away for Charisha. The Gemara says now, Pshita, Bino Gadol Ki Acher Dami. He's allowed to sell the animal to his son who is above the age of Bar Mitzvah, who is a Gadol, because he's considered to be an independent party. And I'm assuming here we're talking about a Gadol that's not Eno Somecha Shulchano, that's not a dependent of the father. He's considered to be an independent party. Bino Katan Mai. What's the din when it comes to his minor, a child that's a minor? Can he sell it to his child who's a minor? Ravachi Asar, Ravashi Shari. Ravachi says it's Asur, and Ravashi says that it's Mutar. Meaning that I guess the idea over here is that it's a knas. Yeah, it's all knas chachamim. So we're mekil in this case when he has to force him to sell it, the way for we allow him to sell it to Bino Akatan, because it's really all a knas and it's not really mikar ha din. Now Mareimar Marzutra Varmile Hanu Tre Chaside, Mareimar Marzutra had a case like this, where their animals were castrated by the Nachri, or these two Chasidim, Umachle Adodi, they exchanged their animals. Now, the question that comes up right away is that how could it be that Mareimar and Marzutra here are violating the Isur of La Lifnei Ver Dotei Michshol? We just said before that the whole problem here is that Lifnei Ver Dotei Michshol, and that's why there is a Knas. So how could it be that Mareimar and Marzutra are exchanging their animals to get around a Knas Chachamim, but they're still in violation of the Lifnei Ver Lotiten Michshon? So the way Tosos explains the case over here is that the case of Mareimar and Marzutra is a little different. It's a top Tosos. Shelo midatan ayu misarsinotan. It's not like the case that Rashi explains where they are instructing the Nachri to do it. If they instruct the Nachri, then you're in violation of Lifnei Ver. It's a case where they didn't know about it. Umikom makom ayu machlifim. So if they didn't know about it, then truthfully there shouldn't be any Knas here because they weren't doing Harama. But Tosa says they went lifnei mishur sedin. Maybe people would not believe them that it wasn't midatam, so they were machlif to uphold the din de rabbanan. They don't want other people to come to do this, so they show that there was an issue here, and they swapped their shvarim to show that this isn't the proper way to happen. Because other people come and say, "Oh yeah, tell the nachri to do it," and they say, "Nah, he did it. I didn't know he was going to do it." So we don't want that to happen. So over here, they carried out what would have been the knas, even though they were not obligated in the knas here, chachamim, because they really did it shalom midatan. Nevertheless, they acted in lifnei mishur tadin to prevent others from learning from what happened over here, or learning from their mistake, or suspecting them of doing it, of having ulterior motives over here. So, by Rami bar Chama, hoshiv la kotz b'fiha. If he sticks a thorn into its mouth, I mean, he puts in a thorn into its mouth, so it's uncomfortable for the animal to eat now. Mahu. What's the din? Is that considered lo tachsom shor b'disho? You're not muzzling it, but you're preventing it from eating. So Gemara says, hoshiv la chasima ma'al yotahi. If you put a thorn or some sort of item that causes the animal pain in order to eat, it's clear that that's considered like a chasima. That's like muzzling the animal. So the way Tosa says here, it's like an imtim tzolomar. Right? If you say that a kotz b'fia, right, that is sure kli called a chasima, le yeshav la kotz b'fia mahu. What's the din if you put a coats, not that you placed the coats in there, but it swallowed a coats. It came into contact with the coats. So now it has a coats embedded in its mouth and it's difficult for it to eat. Are you obligated now to go and take the coats out? Is that part of the issue of Lotachsom? Or can you leave the coats in his mouth? Now, here bits la ari, mi bachutz mahu. So that's again, Tosa says, zim tim tzalomar. If we're talking about a coats, which is a physical item inside the animal's mouth. So maybe if you say, okay, enochanami, you have to remove it, or you're not allowed to place it in, and you have to remove a thorn. Then what's the din if you place a lion outside the area where the animal's working? How does the animal feel about a lion being right outside there? It's very scared. He's not going to eat because he's so fearful. Where it says, listen, here beats la chasima ma'ayatzi. If he places a lion outside where the animal's working, that is considered lo tachsom because that is a fear. The psychological effect is the equivalent of the physical effect. Since the psychological effect of being chosim, psychological chasima is also considered chasima. Ella, revatz la'arei b'mechutz ma'u. What happens if that happened? A lion showed up while he was working there. A lion showed up. You didn't bring the lion there. Now, again, do you have to remove the lion? Or can the lion stay there? Is that, what's the obligation of lo tachsom shor b'disho? Now, again, Tosa says, imtim salomar, that an ari being out there, the animal for certain will not eat because he's so fearful. Hamid b'na b'chutz ma'u. If he put its child outside, what's the din? Because it's mitgageya, right? It feels a certain draw towards his child, that pain, or knowing that its child out there, it won't eat knowing that its child's out there. Is that considered chasima or not? Again, this is a step down. The first case with the thorn is a physical item in the animal. The second one is the ari, which is a psychological chasima. And now over here, the Gemara is even differentiating on levels of psychological chasima. By an ari, the animal won't eat for sure because it's such a great fear. By its child, then it won't eat generally, but if it was really, really hungry, maybe it would eat even with its child out there. So what's the din there? I thought smell the mayim. If it was thirsty, what's the din? Do you have to give it to drink so in order to enable it to eat? Paraskla katvilaya agavi disha amahu. What happens if he places a mat, like some sort, he places a skin over the entire area where he's dash, so the animal doesn't see the food. He's walking on top of the mat to be dashed the food, but he doesn't actually come in contact with the food. So Gemara says, what's the din in all these? Gemara says, Poshut meha chado. At least from this price, so we can answer one of these questions, which is the Tanya. Meshai bala para, laharev iv parato, kadeh shetuchal min adisha harbe. The owner of the para can starve his animal. You know, like a person, they come to a wedding, to a bar mitzvah, they don't eat for the whole day. That way they can fully partake in the smorgasbord. So this is what he did for his para. He knows his para is going to eat, going to work this afternoon in the daish. So he says, no food today. You'll be eating at Mr. Plony's when he takes you in for the daish. When you walk around, you'll fill yourself up there. And the offsetting or the mitigating is that Rashai Balabait, Lahatir Pakia Amir Lifne Bema, Kadesh Lotuchal Minetisharbe. He can open up, he doesn't want him to eat from the daish. He can take out some of his other food, open it up over there and say, eat from this. Don't eat from what you are stomping on. You eat from what I'm giving you. And that's also permissible. So Gemara is trying to conclude from here that you are allowed to dissuade the animal. If the animal is not in contact with the food, if you somehow take away the food from it, that's okay. So just like if you put the mat on top, that should be okay. Just like over here, where you feed it a pakia, that it's okay. Gemara says, shiny hotam. How can you compare the cases? The ka'achla. In this case over here, you didn't let him eat it from the daish, but you gave him something else to eat in the interim. In the case of the katavlia, where you put the mat down, you're not giving him an alternative of food. So therefore, you can't compare the cases, and therefore the Gemara is going to leave all of these cases as inconclusive, meaning that they're all safek. All these cases are safek. When it says eat by Dema, Rashai Balabai, Latir Pakia, merely Fne Behema, Mikora, Kadesh Lutuchal, Bermina Disha, the Ibai Dema just modifies the Braisa to read that he did it prior to him going to work. The first case in the Braisa, it says that he put the Amir into the Daish and then he ate that Amir while he was doing the work. Over here, it says that the Balabai can even give him, according to Ibai Dema, even give him food prior to starting to work in order to prevent him from eating from the Daish. So that's, again, all those cases that we said Mahu before. It's inconclusive, even about the one that Gemara tried to prove in the Braisa, so we didn't have a good proof from him. So now, Bai Minei Rabbi Yonatan Rabbi Simai Chasma Bibachutz Mahu. So this is basically an investigation by Rabbi Yonatan about the din of what's Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho. Is Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho a restriction against muzzling the animal when it's going to go in and work? Meaning that no matter what the no matter when you muzzle it, you may not have your animal muzzled while it's working on your daish. So therefore, even in a passive form, since you muzzled it prior to that point in time, and then you bring it into work, then you're considered in violation of Tachsom Shor B'Dishor. Or, do we say that the only violation of Tachsom Shor B'Dishor is that when the animal's in the daish, working the daish, you may not muzzle the animal then. But the animal is already pre-muzzled, then there's no restriction, because it's only the active muzzling while you're in the daish that's asur, but not to bring an animal that is muzzled in the passive form into the daish. So that's what Rabbi Yonatan wants to know. Rabbi Simai, chasma bechutz mau. Shor b'dishor amar rachmano. It's the shor in the daish amar rachmano. Valab dishohu. And you didn't muzzle it while it was in the daish. You didn't do the act of muzzling while it was in the daish. Odilma lo tidosh b'chasima amar rachmano. That you're not allowed to allow an animal to be dash when it's muzzled. Right? Meaning in the passive form, that it must be unmuzzled while it's working. So Amalei, mi beit avicha talamed. We can learn it.
Simon.
Yeah.
Didn't we learn before? We said what was the reason of the issue of Lotav Som? We said because he wanted to
benefit the animal.
To eat, and it's for the benefit of the animal.
Right.
So what does it matter if the chasima was in the field itself, or was it prior to?
But that may only be in an instance where you're chayiv not to be chosein. Where you're not chayev to be chosem, the reason you're not chosem is for the benefit of the animal, not because of tzara. But maybe there's an instance, but if you're muzzling it before, you're not even in the parsha of Lo Tachsom. That you've never even entered the parsha of Lo Tachsom. It's not that this is a general statement, do good things for animals, right? It's a din that when there is a din of Lo Tachsom, Shor B'Dishor, the reason for that is to benefit the animal, not mitzara the animal. All right, so now the Gemara says, "Amalei, we can learn this out from your father's house. Assumption here is that Rabbi Yonatan was a Kohen. We can learn it out from the Kohanim. Although, even though Rashi says he was a Kohen, if you look in the Masoret Hashas, right where Rashi says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it sounds like Rabbi Yonatan was not a Kohen. But either way, he's going to bring a proof from the Kohanim. All right, that says, "Yayim v'shechar al tesht," that a Kohen is not allowed to drink wine and then do avodah. when you come in to do the avodah, you're not permitted to be drinking. So he says, "Bevoachem hu da asur." So meaning that only when you're entering in to do the avodah, then you can't drink. Ha mishte meo shari. Right? So what happens? Oh, he got drunk. He went to the bar. He got drunk. And now he shows up to do the avodah. He's not drinking when he's coming in to do the avodah. Should be permitted. But doesn't the conclusion of that parsha is the abdil ben a kodesh ben a chol? Has to be someone who has the capacity to differentiate between kodesh and chol. And even someone who is drunk beforehand, not while he's coming in, he also is incapacitated. If he's incapacitated, he's also in violation of the isur here. So the din about not drinking is not just about not drinking when you come in, but it's not being drunk when you do the avodah. So same thing over here. Just like over there, at the time you come in, you may not be drunk. Not that you have to actually literally drink when you come in, but you may not be drunk coming in. So it's over here, right? The same thing, that the passive form, you may not be muzzled when you come in to be dash. Not that you have to actually muzzle him while he's on the daish.
How could you compare? The Torah says it's specifically a reason.
Right. So you're saying that, right, the Pasuk tells you, Lahavdil ben Kodesh Echol.
Only because you have to be in Avdil ben Kodesh Ben Echol. Only therefore, you're not allowed to drink also prior to entering the Beit HaMikdash.
Right. What you have to say is that that's a Mare Makom. The limud is not from Lavdil ben Kodesh B'chol, but the Lavdil ben Kodesh B'chol is mar'eh you what the isur of bi'ah is. And that when it's mar'eh on these types of isurim, it's mar'eh on them bichlau, not just particularly here. I hear your question. Then you could argue that it's just an isur that's unique to Kohanim because of that extraneous pasuk that tells you that. But the way the Gemara is learning here is that pasuk is indicating to us what the previous pasuk meant, not that that's a separate limud. Okay, so the Gemara says, so that the restriction even applies when it comes in muzzled prior to that point in time. So now, Tana Rabbanan, achosemet hapara ve'mezaveg mikilayim patur. Someone who muzzles the animal, or someone who pairs up two incompatible animals, both of them are patur. So here we're talking about two different people that are involved. One person muzzled the animal, the other person then took the animal in to be dash. The other case is a person then strapped up two animals that were incompatible, but someone else drove them with a wagon, or he made them work together. So the Brisa is telling us that the person who muzzled, or the person who puts them together, is not in violation of the Isur. The one who's in violation of the Isur is the one who actively uses the animals, one who is dash while it's muzzled, or the one who drives the animals when they are strapped together in a kilayim. The Gemara says, Itmar. Chasma b'kol, v'nhiga b'kol. What's the din if the person drove the animal by screaming at it, or he was muzzled it by using his voice? I mean, every time the animal went to eat, he yelled at it, or he screamed at the animal to stop, and so he prevented the animal from eating by screaming at it. Or he drove the animals here that are in kilayim, that are hooked up together, by screaming at them. So Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav, Reish Lakish amar patur. Rabbi Yochanan says, you're chayav in this instance. Rabbi Yochanan says, patur. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav akimat piv have ma'aseh. The fact that you said something, your kol, your voice, is a ma'aseh. Why is there a ma'aseh? So even though the kol ain't bo mamush, right, there's no ma'aseh from speaking, but nevertheless, in order to speak, one must move his lips. In order to move his lips, then there's a ma'aseh in the movement of the lips, and that's classified as a ma'aseh over here. Reish Lakish says, patur, kadol alavi ma'aseh. Voices is not classified as a ma'aseh. So, Eidfei Rabbi Yochanan, the Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenged this position of Reish Lakish. Says, lo sha'adam rashay lahamir, that a person, this is tmura, one is not allowed to exchange an animal of kodesh onto another animal. And if he does do it, what happens? Then it says, hu tmurato ya kodesh. So, not that you're permitted to do this, but, elosh, im heimir, mumar, if he does do tmura, then it works, and both animals remain kadosh, v'sofeget arabayim, and he gets malchus. So if he gets malchus over here, what is he getting malchus for? When you do tmura, the only thing you did was speak. It's a maaseh through your kol. Since it's a maaseh through your kol, Rabbi Yochanan says, that's a support to my position over here, that when you speak, that's classified as a maaseh. What are you going to do, Reish Lakish? Amarlei amani Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the author of this bright says, Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar Lav Shem Bomasa, Lokin Alav. He believes that when it's a Lav Shem Bomasa, you get Malkus. Ah, so that's the solution to the problem here. True. Speaking kol, that's a lav shemir maaseh. Ah, so why are you chayiv in this case? Why do you get malchus here by the tmura? It's because this is the shitas Rabbi Yehuda who says the lav shein bo maaseh you get malchus for. It says umi maaseh mukik lak Rabbi Yehuda. Can you really sell up this price like Rabbi Yehuda? Vaktani reisha hakol me miriam. Anybody can make tmura. Echad anashim vechad anashim vavinan ba hakol latu yemai. What does hakol come to include there? So when it says latu yeyureish. That even an inheritor, even a Yoresh, can be Meimir. So, lo k'Rabbi Yehuda? That's not like Rabbi Yehuda. K'Rabbi Yehuda, ha'omer, Yoresh enu Meimir, Yoresh enu Samech. Yoresh doesn't do smicha on animal, and Yoresh cannot create Tmura. So, where it says, ha'itana suffer like kevate b'chadu, pole kevachadu. This Tana holds like Rabbi Yehuda about lav she'en b'maisa, does not hold of Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to a din of Yoresh cannot be Meimir. He holds that a Yoresh can be Meimir. So that's how Reish Lakish will solve the problem of this b'maisa. Now there's a very important tosus over here that about Rabbi Yochanan. Is it really true that anytime you speak, that's classified as a maaseh? You know what? We have a statement from Rabbi Yochanan that is exactly the opposite. And look at this. This is stuff. If you look on the Tosfos on the Amud Bet, Tzadi Amud Bet, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav Kimatzvatav Havi Maaseh. He says Tema. The Perek Gimel Shvuot, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Haumer Haya Rabbi Yehuda, Mishim Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Kol Lav Shein Bo Maaseh, Ein Lokin Alav. Chutz, the only exceptions that there are Nishba, Meimar, Umekalel, Chaveru B'Shem. Those are the exceptions there. Why should those be exceptions? Meaning that, why do you have to have a special dispensation that Lav Shein Bo Maaseh, no look, Malkus, but over here, these do have a Malkus. V'alo Rabbi Yochanan Gufei Kamar Hocha, Tekimat Svatav HaMaaseh. Im kein nishba b'meimar mekalel chaveru b'shem amay machshivotam lav shem bo maaseh. Why is he classifying them as exceptions to the rule of lav shem bo maaseh? They are, which suggests that they are lav shem bo maaseh, but nevertheless you're chayav. That's not true. They're not even lav shem bo maaseh according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, as soon as you speak, you have a kimat zvatav, and that's a maaseh. So Tosfos makes a distinction here, which is very important. V'yesh lomar, d'lo kamar Rabbi Yochanan d'kimat piva b'maaseh l'hecha mishum d'bidburei kavid maaseh sholechet v'dasha b'lo achila. So Tosfos makes a very, very important distinction. Rabbi Yochanan's position here is that when does Rabbi Yochanan say that a kol is a maaseh? That's not in a stam case. Anytime you speak, that's not classified as a maaseh. It's only when your speech has a impact that is a maaseh. Then when you speak, you actually generate an action. That through your speaking, you generate an action, then we almost relate back, or we assign back that action to your kimat zvatav and say that your speaking is a maaseh. But where stam, it's your speech that you're speaking, that is not classified as a maaseh. So in the cases of shvuat, you know, when you're taking a shvuah, or you're mekalel, chaveru b'shem, then we're not going to classify it as a maaseh, because you're just simply speaking, and there's no maaseh that is generated through your speech. So because of that, Tosfos draws that distinction. It's a very important distinction that Rabbi Yochanan is not making a general principle in speech, that it's a maaseh, but rather, only when the speech generates a maaseh, then we reference that maaseh back to your speech and call that as a kol of maaseh.
Although here there is, because of his speech, there is not a maaseh. Because when he speaks,
all right, but general, right, but that means that he's generating something. He is getting a physical reaction to his speech. I think that's the right way to look at it. It's not that he's actively doing it, but he's chuseim the animal. He's muzzling the animal, which is normally considered to be an active. Or an action taken by the Balaim, so therefore when he speaks to stop the animal from eating, that's equivalent of actively being Hoseim, the animal. The other Tosfos deals with Reish Lakish's opinion, which shows that Rabbi Reish Lakish believes in general that Lav Shein Bo Maaseh is Lokin Alav. That if that's the case, then he holds like Rabbi Yehuda over here. So when he says that Bryce is Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda and Reish Lakish l'shitato. And when Reish Lakish over here says patur, he's saying patur according to those who hold that Lav Shein Bo Maaseh ain't Lokin Alav. But according to me, who says Lokin Alav, ain't Ochanami, you would get Malkus here like Rabbi Yehuda says. All right, so we'll stop over here.